And I want us to read from Colossians chapter 1. And verse 9. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. When we see spiritual understanding, we also know that there is a human understanding. And it's very different from spiritual understanding. Paul is praying that the church will have spiritual understanding. Verse 10, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. Now verse 13, He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by Him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He may have the preeminence. Verse 13, He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. There are two kingdoms, two spiritual kingdoms. When we talk about the kingdom of God, we don't talk about the geographical kingdom. We talk about a spiritual kingdom. And there are two kingdoms. The kingdom of God, and as the Bible calls it in other places, here it calls it the power of darkness. Other places it talks about the dominion. That is a kingdom. And every kingdom has a king. And there are only two kingdoms. There are only two spiritual kingdoms. And every one of us will either be in the one or the other. We're either in the kingdom of God, or we're in the kingdom of darkness or the power of darkness. We're in either one. And we have free choice. We decide where we want to be. We choose our own kingdom. We're not forced into any kingdom. It's our own decision which kingdom we want to be a part of. What we need to understand today is that there are two kingdoms, and the kingdom always has a king. And that king rules according to his own character, according to his own personality, according to his own goals. That king rules. And so there's the kingdom of light, there's the kingdom of darkness. It's also called the kingdom of God or the kingdom of the enemy, the kingdom of the devil. He is called in other places, the Bible calls him the God of this world, which means He is in charge of this world. People often ask, why is everything going wrong if God is in charge? Well, according to what the Bible says, He's not in charge. God didn't create this mess that we see around us. It's not God's fault. Where things went wrong was when Adam, who was the manager of this creation, abdicated and handed things over to the devil. He became the God of this world, and he's running the show. He has a lease. That lease is running out. It's coming to an end. That lease will run out. And the day will come when things will be restored. We sang about it this morning. But he is now the God of this world, and he rules. He rules. So we read in places like John chapter 10, and I believe it's well known, where Jesus speaks about this. John chapter 10. And verse 10, he calls him the thief. He says, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. That's the devil. That's what he does. That's his character. He steals. He's a thief. He steals. he kills and he destroys. He destroys lives, he destroys purposes of people, he destroys good things. Everything that's good, he destroys. He hates good things. He hates an upright life. He hates that. He wants lives to be wasted. He wants lives to be deceived. He wants lives to be robbed and killed and destroyed. And that's what he does. That's how he rules. And if you're in his kingdom, that's what he'll do. He'll steal from you. He'll rob you. He'll destroy your life. That's what he does. That's his goal. That's his character. But Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Now, that's his kingdom. And so we have choices. We have choices to make. Now, there's a scripture that we need to go to. Let's go first to John chapter 18. John chapter 18 and verse 36. John 18, verse 36. Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. It's a spiritual kingdom. Where is his kingdom? It's in your heart, where he rules. Where either he rules or the other king rules. There are only two kings. It's either him who rules or it's the devil that rules. My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight, so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here. Pilate therefore said to him, are you a king then? Jesus answered, you say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into this world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Now look at this. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. So his kingdom is not of this world. He rules in the hearts of people. He is the king of your life. Now, when we read in places like Matthew 6, we don't have to go there, Matthew 6, verse 23, it says this, but if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? So the two things there. Now, when he talks about the eye, he talks about spiritual eyes, the ability to see spiritual things. And if our eyes are bad, it says they will be full of darkness, talking about spiritual darkness. There's a lot of people who are physically blind, but they can see spiritually. There's a lot of people who are physically have good sight, but they are spiritually blind. Two kinds of sight. And he's talking about that here in this verse, that we need to make sure that the light we have is true light and not darkness. Now, what is darkness? Darkness is everything that comes from the enemy. Lies, confusion, untrue things, deception, all of that stuff. Light is truth. Light is knowledge of the truth. And knowledge is light, and ignorance is darkness. And so we need to determine who we want to be, who is going to rule our lives, who is going to be the king. Every one of us is subject to a king, a spiritual king. And whether we like it or not, that king rules over our lives. Whether it's the enemy who kills and destroys and robs, or the one who gives life, and that more abundantly. Every one of us is subject to a king. We cannot do what we want to do. We are ruled by the spiritual world. And there are choices that we need to make. Luke 11:35 says, therefore, take heed that the light which is in you is not darkness. Take heed that the light which is in you is not darkness. It's talking about spiritual darkness. Now, the Apostle Paul, he was into a life which he pursued himself, he thought that he was somebody special, and he actually was. He was highly educated. He had the best teacher of the day. He, as he talks about his own life, he says, I excelled above my own contemporaries, people who were fellow students with me. I excelled above them all. He was somebody who was very well educated. Actually, he was so well educated that one of the kings that he spoke to once said, your great education is making you crazy. He was so well educated. So, and he thought, and he was educated in spiritual things. And he thought that he was doing God a service to destroy the church. He did not believe in the church. And he went after Christians and delivered them to be put in prison, and some were even stoned, like Stephen, the first martyr. But he had a meeting one day as he was en route to persecute some believers. He had a confrontation with the Lord himself, and he was stopped in his tracks, and his life was changed. And he talks about that in Acts chapter 26. And I want to read just a few verses there. Acts 26, verse 15. Well, let's read 14. Acts 26, verse 14. And when we all had fallen to the ground, I heard a voice speaking to me and saying in the Hebrew language, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the goats. Because before his salvation, his name was Saul. He changed it to Paul afterwards. So I said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. See, he persecuted Christians, but in so doing, he actually persecuted the Lord himself. Verse 16. But rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness both of the things which you have seen and of the things which I will yet reveal to you. I will deliver to you, I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles to whom I now send you. Look at verse 18, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God. Two powers, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Two powers, and Paul was sent, and every one of us is sent to be the same minister, a servant, so that we will talk about this and get people to understand that they need to turn from light, from darkness to light. There's a change that we need to make, a change in direction that we need to make from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, two kingdoms and two powers. They exert power upon those who are subject to them. It was interesting when I recently flew into Brussels, and I was standing at the airport waiting at the passport control, and there's a big sign up there. And it said, European subjects. And I thought, well, that's not a word that we use this part of the world. We like to see ourselves as citizens, not as subjects. We don't like to be subject to anything or to anybody. But then I remember that Belgium is a kingdom, and they have a king. And so the citizens are subjects. Now, we are all subjects. We are all subjects of a spiritual king. And it's either the one who gives life and light, or it's the one who gives darkness and deception and who steals and robs and destroys. So there are these two kingdoms. And for us to understand the kingdom of God, we need to understand that there are two kingdoms and only two. And there's no demilitarized zone. There is no neutral zone. There are only two kingdoms, and we are in either one of them, either in this one or in that one. and we are subjects in those kingdoms. Now, in John 8, and we can go there, verse 37. We will not be long this morning. John 8 and verse 37. Jesus is speaking, he's telling the Jews, he says, I know that you are Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. I speak what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have seen with your father. Two fathers. Two fathers now. Now, when you have fathers, you also have children. You cannot be a father without children. So now there are two spiritual fathers. And Jesus talks about his father, and he's talking about the father of these people who want to go around killing people. Two fathers. Verse 39, they answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. You do the deeds of your father. And see, that's the problem. We're going to do what our king tells us to do. We're going to do his will. Whoever that king might be, one of the two, we're going to do that king's will. And we're going to do the will of our spiritual father. Verse 41, you do the deeds of your father. Then they said to him, we were not born of fornication, we have one father, God. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you're not able to listen to my word. You are of your father the devil. And the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of lies. So now, there are two kingdoms, there are two kings, and there are two fathers. And we are children of one of them, either one, either this one or that one. So these are all spiritual things that he's talking about. I mentioned before that in 2 Corinthians 4, verses 3 and 4, Jesus talks about this thing, Paul, the Apostle Paul, talks about this thing, about the God of this world. 2 Corinthians, I'll quickly go there. Chapter 4, verse 3, we'll read from verse 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 3. But even if our gospel or our good news is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age or of this world has blinded. And that's the devil. Who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. He's in charge here, and he's the one that inspires all the misery that we see around us. He's the God of this world. And so these two kings rule according to their own goals, their own personalities, their own character. And we are subject to one of them. And so we have choices when we talk about the kingdom of God, and we're going to spend a lot of time in the next few weeks talking about the kingdom of God, and what it means to us, that spiritual kingdom, and how it impacts our daily practical lives. There are, let's go also to Ephesians chapter 6. And we're not going to read a lot more today. I just want to do this as an introduction. Ephesians chapter 6. And verse 12. And this is the Apostle Paul writing here. He says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age or this world, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. There are all kinds of rulers, and there are rulers of darkness. And so every kingdom has its ruler. Every kingdom has its father figure. Every kingdom has the one that we look up to for leadership. Every kingdom has the one who makes the laws. Every kingdom has the one who determines the culture of that kingdom. Every kingdom has the one who impacts the economy. And everything else that goes on in that kingdom, every kingdom has somebody up there who makes decisions. And we are in one of those kingdoms. Now, we're going to talk about the kingdom of God and what it means to us later on. Now, a good thing is that we can immigrate. We can immigrate. If we are in that kingdom of darkness and deception and lies and destruction and aimless life, we can emigrate from that and immigrate into the kingdom of God. We don't have to be subject to a king that keeps on stealing from us, destroying our lives and so on. We can leave. We can leave and enter a kingdom of somebody who cares about us. Somebody who gives us purpose and a meaningful life. We can leave. And we're going to read about that, and we'll close with that. The 1 Peter 2, right at the back of the Bible, 1 Peter chapter 2. While we're in 1 Peter, let's quickly read there a few verses in chapter 1. And verse 17. 1 Peter 1, verse 17, and we'll close with that in a few minutes. And if you call on the Father... It's talking about Father God, not Father Devil now. And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct. See, and that's the problem. A life without aim, a life without goals, aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers with a small f, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. I just want us to see that aimless conduct, that aimless life. We don't have to live an aimless life. We can have goals, and we should have goals. There should be something that we're after. We say, I want my life to count for something. I want my life to count for something. I want to live a life that is worth something, that is worth living. I don't want to be pushed around from day to day and by circumstances and how things happen and how people around me influence me and so. No, I want to make decisions for my own life so that I can live a life that is worthy of living. I don't want decisions to be made for me by circumstances and people around me who don't have my best interest at heart. I want to make decisions that will take my life to a place of fulfillment and satisfaction and abundance and blessing. And we have the ability to make those decisions. We don't have to be pushed around by circumstances. We don't have to be pushed around by things that destroy our lives and leave us with an empty life. The greatest tragedy of all times is when we get to the end of our life and we look back and there is nothing to see. I haven't produced anything. I haven't accomplished anything. I have just been here and I'm going. And I have nothing to leave. That is the greatest tragedy of anything that can ever happen to you. An aimless conduct, an aimless life, the Bible talks about. And so we don't have to live aimless lives. We can be somebody that can be a blessing. We can be somebody that people love to see. We can be bearers of good news. That people smile when they see us coming. Because we bring good news. and they love to be around us because where we are, there's blessing there. Now, verse 9, chapter 2. But you are a chosen generation. I don't know about you, but it works like this. When you choose God to be your king, then He'll choose you. He says, you are a chosen generation. You're somebody special now. A royal priesthood. A holy nation. That word holy means set apart. Set apart. Set apart from what? Set apart from an aimless life. Set apart from a life that is empty and hollow. I'm cut off from that emptiness and I'm set apart to live a life that is full of substance. His own special people. Now, I would rather be God's special person than the devil's special person. Oh, he has his own special people. He has his own special people. And that's not the kind that people smile when they see them. That's the kind that you dodge when you see them coming. Oh, you don't want to be around them. They are like their father. They bring bad news. They come to rob. You can trust them as far as you see them. They'll rob you while you're watching them. You cannot trust them and deceive you and get you into things that you will regret later on. But I would rather be God's special person. Because He can go places with me. He says, that you may proclaim the praises of Him. Now, who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. See, there's a call coming to every one of us to come out of that darkness, to come out of that deception, to come out of that empty life, that aimless life, to come out of it. There's a call. That call is coming to every one of us today. To come out of that darkness and into His marvelous light. He says, who once were not a people, who once were nobody, but now are the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. So we have a call, and that call is coming to every one of us today. Your life can be different. You don't have to be a subject of the one who robs you, who steals from you, who makes your life miserable. You can be a subject of the one who cares about you, who wants to raise you up, who wants to take you places and make your life count for something. You can be that one. And there's a call that comes to every one of us today to come out of that darkness and have a life that is worth living. That call comes to everyone. Thank God. When I was a young person, and it may sound long ago, and I was getting ready for a life of adventure. And I had no plans of living that adventure with God in mind. And I went off and I joined the police force to be that kind of, to have that kind of a life. He tracked me down right there in the police college. He tracked me down. That's why I know God has your number. He knows where to get you. And you keep on running, He'll track you down. You listen to me, He'll get you. He'll get you. And the reason why He had my number is because I had parents who prayed for me. But I didn't care about that much, and I didn't believe in that much, but God answered prayer. And while I was getting ready for a life of adventure, God had other plans. And I'm telling you today, that day I made a decision that 40 years later, I still say that was the best thing I ever did. The adventure that I've been having with Him cannot excel so far above the adventure I could have had in the world. Living an aimless life that was just focused on me and the little gratification and satisfaction I could have for now, but gave me a life of substance. And I haven't arrived yet. I'm still going after some things. Oh, the kingdom of God is rich. It has tremendous opportunity. And there are still some things that I'm after. I haven't arrived yet. Don't think I've arrived yet. I have a lot more that I'm going to accomplish in Him. But there's a call that comes to every person. Every person has that call to come out of that darkness and into His marvelous light and have a life that is worth living. And you can look back one day and say, what a life this was. Thank God. We can make that choice. Okay, well, let's pray. It's almost time. Let's pray. Father, we thank You that You call us. And we know that You're calling people today. You're knocking at hearts of doors today. Today You expose to people empty lives. Today You expose to people a life of opportunity. And You come with a call to come into the life of abundance that Jesus came to give us. And Father, I pray that the Holy Spirit will knock and knock and knock and keep on knocking and never stop knocking at every heart's door until every knee bows before You and say, Jesus is now my Lord and my King. And I thank You that we work with You, Lord, and we bless Your holy name today. Thank You for the day of opportunity. We thank You for Jesus who made all of this possible. We thank You for a grand invitation, and we bless Your everlasting name. Amen.